The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States Heavyweight
Champion.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the WrestleCast. This is episode 161. I'm Sammy Kalunga, and with me as always is the god of the WrestleCast, Mr. Don DeLorenzi.
Hola folks, welcome to the WrestleCast.
And also, live from out there somewhere, Miss Three Sheets, aka Didi Janae.
I'm only two sheets. I'm at home. I fully intended to be on location at a local bar of no name because they are not a sponsor, but due to technical difficulties, I have to drink my drinks at my house.
Had you been on location, we've gotten the full three sheets?
Oh, more than likely. Yeah, I've been drinking since 7 o'clock. Yeah, but, you know, had to make a break. Had to be mildly professional, so I had to stop.
Mildly. So, yeah. Joining us on the WrestleCast is our special guest. Live, also from out there somewhere, is Miss Littlefoot.
What's up?
How's it hanging? Alrighty, so we're gonna jump into some news real quick while Don screams and shouts to himself. Okay, so first off, everybody, happy birthday to Miss Neve, aka Bayomi, aka Naomi. She's officially joined the 30 Club today.
Woo!
One time.
Beautiful thing. Yeah.
Feel the glow.
Feel the glow.
Is 30 young?
Well, I'm 32, so 30 is young. Yeah, I'm 30, old.
30 is the new 20.
Adjacent. Is it?
I'm scared to be 30. I'm like dreading it.
There's nothing scary about it. It's just more like, I'm 30.
Go ahead.
It's just that everything that you think you will have accomplished, you won't have accomplished it by 30. So if you get that out
I'm
of your thoughts.
I'm already looking at it 25.
Exactly. So if you just reconcile that within yourself, you'll hit 30 and you'll be like, and then your sex drive will go up, but you won't have time for any of these fuck niggas. So it's just going to be like a ball of like, it's very bad.
I'm already that at 25.
Yeah, it's 30, very bad. Like, so but if you do it right, you won't be like, oh my God, I'm 30. You'll be like, yeah, I'm 30. And.
Yeah, it freaked me the hell out when I turned 30. It was just like, whoa, hold on. I got to take a minute here.
It only freaked me out. Actually, it didn't freak me out at 30. 32 freaked me out because 32 was when my mother had me. And I'm the youngest. So it's like, by the time I'm her age, I'd have had three kids, been married, had a career. And then I was like, oh, I don't have any of that shit. And I was like, oh, that's God. So 32 was like, oh, fuck. But 30 was like, I'm 30. Twerking. Don't nobody care. 32 was the problem. 30 was just like, I'm 30, fuck all y'all. It was really what it was.
Alrighty, so happy birthday to her. Let's see. The Marine Six, two members of the current WWE roster and a Hall of Famer, are set for roles in the next edition of WWE Studios' The Marine franchise. It was announced today that The Miz, Becky Lynch, and Shawn Michaels would have parts in The Marine Six Close Quarters. So
we know you'll be all on that first day.
Naomi's not in it, Netflix. So I don't care.
Netflix queue, it'll be all up in there for you, Sam.
Becky Lynch is in. Like, I was joking earlier that she'll just show up on the wrong set for the wrong movie, and she'll end up in like I don't know, like something else. Let's see. And Dee Dee's dropped. Let's see here. Would you like to hear the synopsis for the Marine Six? So that's a.
Not really, but I feel like we're going to come anyway.
Yes. I'm going to tell you anyway. So, all right. When Jake Carter and fellow Marine Lube Trapper Shawn Michaels stumble upon a kidnapped girl being held prisoner by a dangerous gang of international criminals. They find themselves in the crosshairs as they try to save the girl and bring her kidnappers to justice. So, yeah.
I just don't want to see Shawn Michaels, who obviously is my fave, in that horrible God movie or Christian straight-to-DVD movie, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. Let's see. So WWE has scaled back their pay-per-views from 16 to 14 for 2018. Let's see here. Joining the Big Four in the dual branded shows will be Money in the Bank, which will take place in Chicago, Illinois.
Hey.
So let me see other shows. Will be, let me see, what's in y'all's neck of the woods? Nothing really.
Nothing. It's like Chicago, Philly, LA. Yeah.
There's Baltimore, but that's not close to you. Not too close. TLC will be in Boston. So are we going to be down for the SummerSlam in Brooklyn? What do you think?
Sure, man. I'm going to try to make sure that happens.
Brooklyn, my pockets are already hit from WrestleMania, so I don't think I will be present.
Okay. Alrighty, so there's the list of pay-per-views. Go check those out. Starrcade. Are you ready for Starrcade?
No.
Sure.
So, for the first time since acquiring WCW in 2001, WWE utilized the Starrcade name for a house show that served as a tribute to the history of Starrcade. Ric Flair, The Rock and Roll Express, and Ricky Steamboat were all advertised for the show and made appearances. Arn Anderson made a cameo as well, serving as the special guest enforcer for Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. Anderson got involved and hit Ziggler with a spinebuster into getting into it with him on the outside. He also took a few bumps, too. Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson danced in the ring with the Hardys and the New Day. And Dustin Rhodes ditched his Goldust attire and entered using his natural gimmick, which we hadn't really seen since like 89, 90, whenever he was there with Dusty.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool because he used the song too.
Yeah. Now, was it the WCW song or the one? Did he even have one for WWF?
As the, no, the WCWC song. The WCW okay. song. Well, they call him the natural.
Oh, yeah, that one. Because I don't remember him. I mean, I remember him wrestling in WWF as Dustin, but I don't really remember it in music. Let's see here. Yeah, he had a match against Dash Wilder, so. And he hit the bionic elbow and pointed to the sky. Alrighty, so Aero Lucha, a new promotion run by Aero Lux, the former part owners of Impact, working with Conan as Booker, announced his debut event at the same arena where TNA ran its early days. Let's see here. See, the idea is to attempt a Lucha Libre television show based around high flyers. The first show will be a pilot to attempt to sell the series and has a lineup of mostly wrestlers that work for the Crash promotion in Mexico. Rey Mysterio and Pentagon are there, Jack Evans, Hurricane Helms, MVP, Taya, and Mascarita Dorado, who was El Torito in WWE. They'll all be there. Let's see. And, of course, Willie Mack, a.k.a. The Mack from Lucha Underground. Let's see here. The Broken Gimmick. When speaking with Sports Illustrated, Anthem's Ed Norholm discussed Matt Hardy teasing the Broken Gimmick on Raw and said, Impact's new talent agreement allows wrestlers to use their personas after leaving the company. Norholm also said they're working with their legal team to extend that to those under previous agreements and their former roster members. So we're more than likely going to get the full Broken instead of just like the modified version that they were planning originally. Let's see here. Allegedly, according to Mirror Sport, a site I've never heard of, WWE has reportedly come to terms for the release of longtime entrance theme composer Jim Johnston. The musician spent three decades working in Stanford, producing iconic themes for superstars such as Stone Cold, Steve Austin, The Rock, and The Undertaker. The last superstar to get the Johnston treatment was your boy Boring Corbin. So that's all for the news. Thoughts, anybody?
Yeah, pour some out for Jim Johnston, man. So allegedly, iconic themes.
Like, how old is he, though? Like, is he retirement age?
I don't know.
I'm sure he's. Yeah, I'm sure he's in his 50s. Yeah.
So, good enough. Bye. You know. Listen, we talked about it earlier, and apparently the last good one that he's done is who? The New Day? And that's not even so much the music as them thrusting to the music. So, like, maybe his time is coming on.
Look at that thrustage.
I do like a good thrustage. It appeals to me. So, you know, everybody can't do everything forever. He had his good 2 decades.
Yeah, he's 58. Let's not bury the man yet. It's not official yet. I mean, who knows?
I mean, if we're talking about it, it's official enough for me. Bye. Have fun. Go on vacation in Hawaii. Go away.
Damn. Just remember that. Just remember that when you're old and like you're a new up and comer, it's like, okay, Didi, go away.
I don't want to work now. I'm not going to want to work when I'm 50. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, they said I can't work.
They said they can't babysit brats.
Right. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm done. Really? You sure? Yay.
She's probably going to smack one of them upside the head.
Listen, I'll be like, can I leave? Not, you're making me leave. It's like, can I?
It says his last theme that he did was Baron Corbin's,
which is awful.
In October 2017.
Script, I should say. It's not that it's bad. It's that I don't remember what it even sounds like.
I think I remember it, and I thought I liked it, but I'm not sure.
The fact that you're not sure is an issue.
I'm not sure if I liked it or not, because I haven't heard it, because like Baron Corbin puts me to sleep.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I feel like if it was with somebody else other than Baron Corbin, we would know what it is. But
no, but I remember good music even when they're with an awful person. So that's not a good excuse.
I'm looking through.
I remember Fandango's catalog. Music even when nobody cared about Fandango. We knew the music and we loved the music.
Until they changed it to that salsa version.
What?
To that weird version that he had when he was with that
Summer Rae?
Canadian, what the Rosa Mendez. What is with Rosa Mendez? And, like, they changed his music.
Your references are always so like specifically random. Rosa Mendez. Like,
he fired her. So? He fired her like on the show, and then he's like,
"Who even remembers Rosa Mendez? What? What are your references?"
Anyway, no, yeah, he fired her, and then he's like, "I play my own music," and then the classic music played, and he danced. Danced up the aisle.
So the music that we've most recently heard is the old music and not the Rosa Mendez version?
No, the Rosa Mendez version is like some kind of weird slow down.
Why did you even mention it? It's so horrible. Random. Okay, but now I'm going to go look for it because I want to know what the hell you're even talking about.
It sounds similar, but it's like a more like, I don't know, it just sounds different. It's not the same.
Oh no, Jim Johnson got some bangers. He's got some bangers under his belt.
In the last decade or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naomi, he did Naomi's.
The Glow music is good.
Kofi Kingston's old theme song.
I don't recall
the Jamaican one. The SOS.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it was
Jamaican.
Nice.
He did Alicia Fox's, which was also
I don't recall.
The Hot and Hair version, or the new one, the Party.
Yeah, that was Maria's old theme song way back in the day.
Oh really?
So yeah, she's recycled, just like her leaf. It's recycled plastic. Anyway.
Oh Lord,
let's light it up. AJ Lee, somebody call my mama. Brodus Clay, oh, he's got bangers under his belt. It's okay though.
You are not gonna like name Brodus Clay as a banger of an entrance music.
That was a banger.
Well, it was originally Ernest the Cat.
It was a banger.
So now it's recycled.
A recycled song. Yeah,
awesome.
Because like even remember Ernest the Cat really got mad when they started.
He needed to retire then. Like if you're recycling music, it's over.
It's a banger though.
Kurt Angle's theme song is a recycled song. It used to be
what
the Patriots.
Are you talking about?
It was the Patriots theme.
Who the fuck are the Patriots?
You're making things question, up, man.
And I don't appreciate this. I'm too drunk for this. Who was the Patriot?
He was a guy who wrestled.
I imagine you don't mean Tom Brady, so I don't know who you're talking about.
Here comes the money, Shane McMahon.
It's funny, though.
Like, I do like that one. The
guy who has the gimmick now is a guy named Tom Brady.
That's a good one. No. But I'm just saying, like, no.
Apparently, three sheets has appeared.
Listen, I told you I've been drinking since 7 o'clock, and that actually wasn't accurate. I've been drinking 6:30. There was a lot of rum involved.
But the CFOs don't have that many bakers I can name.
I mean, Shane's is good, but Shane gets a lot off of, you know, nostalgia. Stephanie's isn't that great.
That's a banger. Stephanie's new theme sucks.
Wait, what's her new theme song? I don't
know her. I just know her old theme song was "I'm All Grown
the
Up." Yeah, and it was a bit rapid, but she doesn't have that anymore. It's a little bit more electronic, kind of like.
I don't recall any of this. For me, if I don't remember what it is, even in my drunkenness, you're not good enough because I firmly remember "We Are the Nation of Domination." I know that
the fuck?
Up and down. I remember it. I'm saying it's memorable. You sitting up here talking about the Iron Patriot or whoever the fuck.
Who the hell's the Iron Patriot?
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know any of your...
He said Kurt Angle's theme song was recycled because it used to be belong to the tag team, the Patriots.
No, the Patriot, not the Patriot.
See, it's not the Patriot.
See, it's not a tag team. The fact that none of us know who he's talking about means that doesn't count.
It's also before my time.
Donald, so. Leave in here and back me up here.
Nobody's backing you up. You're making up things. And you say it with such authority. I think he is. Because how would we ever know? Don't nobody ever know.
It's before my time. It's before my time.
Don, do you remember the Patriot?
I remember the Patriot. And yes, the Patriot's theme music became Kurt Angle's theme music.
Ooh.
It became his music, or it is the same thing?
It's the same music.
Yeah, it's the same music.
Up and down. Like, no remixing. Yeah. It is just that music.
Uh-huh.
They didn't even change the pitch. It is the same thing.
No, it's the same thing.
Okay, now, who is the Patriot? Did he win anything? Does he matter? Or was he was like a James Ellsworth?
In WWE, he really didn't matter. But okay. in Japan and in AWA, yeah, he was a really big
deal. There's also a tight team with Bagwell in WCW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buff Bagwell?
Yeah.
The one who ended up being a... Never mind.
Yeah, they were a tight team called Stars and Stripes.
I wasn't going to say a tag team, but okay. I remember Stars and Stripes vaguely, I think. Didn't Buff Bagwell turn into like a performer of the adult variety?
Gigolo.
No, not a gigolo. I thought he was like
a porn star.
Porn star. Yeah. That's what I heard. That's what I was told by AppleCare. Let me find out. Buff Bagwell. Go on.
Anyway, Monday Night Raw.
You sound disinterested.
Hold on, sir.
What?
Let's do this in chronological order. Let's talk about your NXT experience. You finally, came out of the closet in full and attended the NXT event.
I was only there for two reasons. One, I was dragged. Two, I was there to see Ember Moon. Three, I was there to see the War Games, which I didn't see because like that was not the War Games.
What?
I'm gonna stick with myself.
Look like it to me.
We must have been watching something else then.
Jesus. Are you 50? You are so it's not what it was back in the 70s. I'm not into this new shit. It's right. Like you're like, who are these luchadors? Fuck them. Like, you're very bad. And it's so funny.
It was a 4-hour trip.
No, let's discuss it. What makes it not War Games?
Oh, we'll get to it soon.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, 4-hour trip with a bunch of wrestlers. It's true what they say. Going on a road with wrestlers, it's like it's an experience. They're pretty filthy people, not filthy, but like dirty minded people.
Oh, you fit in perfectly.
Never mind. It was a weird. I'll tell you off the air. It's a weird experience. But yeah, no, I mean, it was a 4-hour drive up there. We stopped a few times at a few like truck stops to like, you know, get gas or whatever. But yeah, and then we got there and then everybody in the car wanted to go eat at a different place. I wanted to try this deli that I heard about and I saw they did a documentary on this deli. And I was like, I need to go to that deli because I want to see the jolly fat man that owns it. And just like reality TV, the people who are on the show or on the movie don't actually go there. Don't actually work there full time. Which is there to be seen on the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, duh.
Yeah, pissed me off. I was like, "Where's this?" I was gonna yell, "Like, where's the jolly fat man?" But no, the food was good. The food was on point. It was a deli. I had a pastrami sandwich. It was great. It was amazing. And then another person wanted to go to this place called Jollibee, which is like a Filipino like type fast food place. And then another person wanted to go to Taco Cabana, and another person wanted to go to Checkers. So.
Taco Cabana sounds like a good idea. Checkers got good fries. Hold on, like
yeah, but everywhere doesn't have Rallies or Checkers.
I thought they did. I didn't know that was like a regional thing. Some people only like what they know. Like who will like go to China and go to McDonald's. Like,
is it legit the same restaurant with a different name?
Yeah,
Rallies and Checkers
are the same thing. Absolutely.
Same restaurant.
Carl's Jr. So like and Hardee's.
Theme and Kurt Angle's theme. Same thing. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, we did that. And Jollibee was actually, the food looked good, but I was like kind of mad that I had already eaten the other food. But yeah, no, like next time I go to Houston, I'm going to try Jollibee. Let's see here. So we did that. And we had to, because we all had food from different places, like we had to like eat outside of a gas station.
What?
Where was this? In Texas?
In Houston, yeah.
Why didn't y'all just go get gas station tacos?
Ew.
Ew, that's
They're disgusting. Amazing.
I don't eat nothing from the gas station.
Oh, you unless should.
It's a package.
You need probably use tacos and sushi.
I'm sorry, I like my life. Texas tacos are a totally different thing as opposed to seafood at a gas station.
You know how, like,
I let's not go that far.
I can get that any time.
Like, roasted pork at a gas station is not the same as raw fish at a gas station. I have my parameters, okay?
Sushi's not always raw fish, so.
Yes, it is.
California rolls is crab, and that's cooked.
Are y'all about to fight?
California roll is a shenanigan made by Caucasian people who don't like nice things. But like anyway, sushi. We digress.
Are California rolls sushi? Like, is it classified as sushi?
Yeah.
From Japanese people, maybe not. But from Americans, absolutely.
Well, from an American standpoint, Taco Bell is Mexican food.
So. I love Taco Bell. When you want to clear your system out, and you don't really care about like any of that, and you're just like, I want meat byproducts. Yes.
You want meat adjacent?
Yeah. Meat-ish. Yeah. Okay. And with the fire sauce? What? Yeah.
So, yeah, so we got to the arena, and then like, we met up with Ember Moon's fiance. He was there.
The white guy.
Huh?
The white guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew Palmer.
His name is Matthew. Why is every white person named Matthew? What is that about?
I need to ask them.
That is so weird. You have to quit naming your children Matthew, Brandon, and Christopher. Like, we have to just stop.
No, it was funny because, like, when he wrestled here, he had a gimmick where he was, like, a loser, where he, like, lost a lot of his matches. And he was Bill from Buffalo, New York. I thought it was so funny. But, yeah, we met up with him. I thought something was kind of weird when, like, he started going around to every merch table making sure they were sufficiently stocked with Ember Moon shirts. I thought that was kind of a telltale sign. I don't know.
Gotta make sure she sells out at the merch stand,
though. It's valid.
Yeah, that's the hustle.
That's a check. We need all of our coins at the crib. We gotta pay for this wedding. Right. Honeymoon is coming soon.
Now, did they mention...
Just trying to make sure she's booked and busy.
Because I know, like, he was sitting next to her parents. Now, did they mention that on TV that they were did they show them at all? Because I still have not watched the show.
It's a couple of weeks ago, sir. I can't remember. It's not as fresh on my mind, but
I don't think they do because I think they want us to believe she was raised by wolves.
Oh right, yeah, and hangs out in the park, right? So they show her parents, and it's like they bring a couple of wolves out there, like it's everyone's family. So yeah, so we got there, and then actually, because like we actually got moved to better seats because when we got there, the seating area we were at was like completely carpeted off or completely like covered, and so like the guy, the usher there, was like, "Oh yeah, we moved y'all down there." I'm like, hey, "That's a hell of a better seats than we had originally because the building didn't sell out at all. Like that was like the upper bowl was like completely taped off or carpeted or however you call it when they like put the thing on over the seats." So yeah, it was
tarped off. Is
that there? You go. Oh yeah, yeah. You work in the building, yeah. So he knows the lingo. So let's see here, the dart match that you actually got to see later on, like on the show, I think, was Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano. That was a really good match. Let's see, the other match was like Ruby Riott versus Sonya Deville. That was an awful match. Let's see here. So Don, since you're the NXT guy, why don't you take us through the card?
All right, we had Cassius Ohno losing to Lara Sullivan. The freak accident. Lara Sullivan got the win. We had the first match in the best feud in WWE as we had Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream.
That was the best. That was the best match on the actual card.
Yes, after a great back and forth, Aleister Black hits the Black Mass and gets the win. After the match, Aleister Black gets on the mic and welcomes the Velveteen Dream to infamy. So he actually said his name. That was pretty cool. Then we had the NXT Women's Title match, the four-way between Kairi Sane, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, and Nikki Cross. Peyton Royce and Nikki Cross both gets the Eclipse out of nowhere from Ember Moon. Ember covers Nikki, and Ember Moon is your new NXT Women's Champion. So did you scream like a little fangirl?
I didn't scream, but I was happy. I was excited.
Did you squelch?
We were all wearing some version of like her shirts, because I was wearing the Ember Moon shirt. Paige Turner had like one of the early Athena shirts. Like, it has like a cartoon drawing, and like the other guys had like other Athena shirts. Like, because like, she had various shirts as Athena, but I was the only one wearing the WWE one.
Cool. That was a cool cheering section. I'm pretty sure she appreciated that. So next up, we had the NXT title match between Cien Almas and Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre misses the Claymore, which leads to Almas giving McIntyre a cradle DDT, and Cien Almas gets the pin, and Cien Almas is your new NXT champion. We'll give a shout-out one time to Zelina Vega, upgrading her man, showing him that anything is possible.
Seeing her out there and just seeing like how she does her thing and on the pre-match, like on the little pre-match thing or whatever, the vignette before, like, why did it take them so long to sign this woman? She'd been out there for like 10 or so years already. She's been out, she's been on the scene for a long time.
She's the second best manager behind Paul Heyman in WWE.
Oh, word. Okay.
Oh, we're talking currently, right? This is current.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She's about to break her foot off in your ass. Better watch out.
I'm about to check you. No, I meant currently. Selena Vega is awesome.
You're already muted. She might block you for that.
Selena Vega is awesome. And then, last but not least, we have the main event with Sam described as not as war games with the WWE twist between Sanity, the Undisputed Era, the Office of Pain with Roddy Strong. Beaten and battered, Adam Cole is able to hit Eric Young with the Shining Wizard.
Oh, you got
to
say Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby, with the Shining, gives him the Shining Wizard with the chair, and he gets the win. And the Undisputed Era are the winners of the War Games. And I don't know how my man Kyle O'Reilly didn't have like a separated shoulder, because he really got jacked up in that match.
Now, who was it that got busted? Because I saw how it happened. I just don't know who. Because these people need to wear name tags or something. I don't know half these folks. Who was the one that got busted by the?
That was Alexander Wolf, who took the hard way with the head to the table and then had his head all gashed open. That would be Alexander Wolf.
Apparently, when the table broke, there was like a jagged edge that was like sticking out, and that's how it gashed him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, y'all didn't see this, but like there was one part where like that was Adam Cole. Somebody was like sitting up on like one of the turnbuckles, and like the Authors of Pain started to slowly make their way up. And they realized that they weren't on camera, and they like quickly dropped back down. And then when they were back on camera, they did their slow creep back up. It was just so funny.
But yeah, the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match definitely was a standout, and it was a very shocking title change with Cien Almas defeating Drew McIntyre, who on the finish of that match blew out his triceps and will probably miss 2018, or his biceps rather, and will probably miss 2018.
Apparently, he was going to get called up. That was the word around the gossip mill.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. I mean, he's a champion, so I mean, that's usually what happens to an NXT champion. You get your run, you lose, and then you get to come up.
Oh, poor Drew Galloway. But that Lars Sullivan guy, he's gonna be a star. You watch out for that dude. I think it was awesome.
Yeah, he's got big time potential.
It was my first time seeing Velveteen Dream, and at first I was like, what? And then I was like, okay, this is cool.
Didi, what'd you think?
Of what?
Did you see the takeover? Did you see Velveteen Dream?
Mm-mm.
Wake up, Dee.
I'm awake.
You had a chance, and you didn't get a chance to see him.
The things they were happening, it was holiday season. My family was around. You know, I've got 89 cousins. I was booked. It's not my fault.
It's always your
fault. It is always my fault. Yeah, I tried. I didn't try hard enough. I didn't see it. I'm sorry. All right, so.
Quick rundown of Survivor Series. Matches that DD didn't see. Matt Hardy got beat by Elias as he got caught by the Drift Away. Enzo, Littlefoot's man, retained the Cruiserweight title with the Eat the Feet. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, surprise, surprise, showing up on the pre-show because, you know, they got to be punished for, you know, not doing the job to the New Day. They beat the Fashion Police when Kevin Owens hit the power bomb on Fandango. So we get to the main show, Shield and New Day. Roman hits Kofi with the spear. Then the Shield follows up with the triple power bomb to Kofi off the second rope, and the Shield gets the win. We had the Raw women versus SmackDown women. elimination match. Becky Lynch gets eliminated by Bayley after a blind tag. Tamina eliminates Bayley with the Superfly Splash. Nia Jax gets eliminated by countout after fighting with Tamina on the floor. And that was definitely one of the highlights of the night, was those two facing off and having a few minutes against each other.
By the way, Alicia Fox versus Naomi was like the worst wrestling I've ever seen in my entire life. They did five moves and they boxed all five.
Alicia Fox got eliminated by Naomi. Then Sasha Banks makes Naomi tap out.
Just, like, as bad as she was, she should have just like let herself go as well and just get counted out, because that was awful.
Sasha eliminates Naomi with the bank statement. Asuka then eliminates Carmella with the big roundhouse kick. Sasha then taps out to the sharpshooter. Asuka is the last one left, so Asuka makes Tamina tap out to the arm breaker. Asuka then makes Natty tap out to the Asuka lock. And Asuka is the sole survivor, and Team Raw wins. So, pretty predictable. Good way to make Asuka look tough, rough, rugged. So, good booking there. Baron Corbin versus The Miz in the upset of the evening. Corbin catches The Miz coming in, doing the running dropkick. It's The Miz in the days to get the win. Sheamus and Cesaro versus The Usos. Jey Uso hits the big splash on Sheamus, and the Usos get the win. Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss. After big boot, Charlotte gets Alexa to tap out to the figure eight. And AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar in the match of the night. Brock catches AJ while he's trying to do the phenomenal forearm in the F5, and Brock Lesnar gets the win. The best match Brock Lesnar's had in about 2 years. AJ Styles definitely is the man.
Did you see how much like Brock was selling like the foot, the leg? Like, he must really, really love AJ.
The knee,
like, he doesn't sell to anybody like that. Even as he was like walking away, he was still like limping.
Mm-hmm. And our main event, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Braun eliminates Nakamura and Bobby Roode with the running power slam. Cena then eliminates Samoa Joe after two AAs. Cena gets eliminated after the Kevin Sullivan foot stomp and two angle slams. Orton catches Finn Balor with an RKO out of nowhere, and Finn is eliminated. Sammy and Kevin then come down and attack Shane on the outside. Shane gets a chair and fights them off. Braun eliminates Randy Orton with the power slam. Then Kurt Angle hits the angle slam and applies the ankle lock on Shane. Shane fights. Angle pulls him back, and then Triple H enters the ring, and he pedigrees Kurt Angle. Triple H helps Shane up, and he pedigrees Shane, and he wins the match. Braun is completely puzzled as Triple H raises his hand. Triple H celebrates, but Braun attacks him and says if Triple H screws with him again, he'll never play the game again. Triple H tries to sneak Braun and pedigree him, but Braun lays him out with a power slam. Braun hits another power slam and leaves, and Triple H is basically squashed in the middle of the ring. And that was your Survivor Series. So, thoughts, concerns, Dee Dee? Did you like your Team SmackDown representation? Did you like the way they were represented? Baron Corbin beat The Miz. That was an upset.
I will note that I knew that he was going to beat The Miz. I just didn't choose him on principle. I will say that in regards to our Who You Got activities. I did not actually finish doing the calculations. I believe there was either a tie or you won. I don't know. Either you won or I won, or there was a tie. Is how that went down.
That's usually how it goes.
There are three members, so Angelina didn't win.
Okay. Well,
she didn't win at all.
I just like to think in my head that I won. It's good for myself.
I don't know that you did. I think it was either like a tie or I won. It's either we won or I won, I think. I don't know why I didn't finish. I'd be drinking too much, man.
Alexis, mess.
You want to talk about? Yes.
I want to talk about alcohol. That's what I want to talk about.
On Survivor Series.
What did I think of Survivor Series? Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I was for Team SmackDown this year, which I usually pick Team Raw. So obviously, I was disappointed.
Did you like the way the eliminations went in the final match? A lot of people seemed to kind of lose a lot of interest once Nakamura and Finn Balor got eliminated kind of early.
I didn't lose interest. No. I still, to this day, can't remember who pinned John Cena and how he disappeared.
But he left, though, and that's what matters.
But I literally looked down to read some tweets, and then I looked up and it was like nobody left for Team SmackDown. I'm like,
don't question it. He was gone.
Where's Super Cena and who eliminated?
Doesn't matter. You take your blessings when you get them. Don't ask too many questions.
Because I was blue
team. Was on your team, Dee Dee.
Who cares? It's John Cena. He's not on anybody's team but his. Not even Nikki's team. Let's be honest. He's just on his team. Just his own team.
I can't debate with that one.
Thank you.
All right. Donald, what are we doing now?
We're going to just do a quick synopsis of the Monday Night Raw that followed Survivor Series.
Okay, I can handle this one. It sucked. Moving on.
Finn Balor and Samoa Joe had a really good match. Joe won when he made Finn pass out in the Coquina Clutch. We had the IC title match between Roman and The Miz. It got set up through Miz TV. We had, the arrival of Miss Paige during the, you know, four-way for the number one contenders match, and she had her friends with her.
There goes Paige again, involved in another four-way.
So we had Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, and Paige come arriving on the scene, beat down everybody. So there were some things that happened. We had Jason Jordan versus Braun, which turned into Kane giving Braun a tracheotomy with the chair in the throat. Couldn't breathe and he refused the medical attention. And last but not least, Roman Reigns won the IC title from The Miz. So there's some pretty memorable highlights that happened. And then from the SmackDown from that Tuesday, Sammy and Kevin come down and they, you know, basically make Shane feel bad for not choosing them to be on Team Raw and how they lost. And basically Shane was about to fire them, but Daniel Bryan stepped in, stopped them. Basically said that he had a idea and he made a lumberjack match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the New Day, and everybody in the locker room would be the lumberjacks. So that was pretty good. Sami Zayn and Owens were backstage all night trying to recruit people to kind of like side with them, be on their side, but nobody was really feeling it. Shelton Benjamin beat Jey Uso with the pay dirt. Then Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan, they roll up on Naomi and jump her at the makeup table. Becky Lynch comes to make the save, but she gets beat down as well. Natty in there too, so there's another set of girls on SmackDown now.
Apparently Ruby Riott's name in the main roster is Ruby Riott with two T's at the end.
Yes, two T's.
Yes, it is. It is.
You had Natty and Charlotte in SmackDown Women's title match, but it gets interrupted when Ruby Riott and her crew come down and attack Natty while she's on the floor. Then they gang up, beat down Charlotte, leave her stretched out in the middle of the ring. So then you had the main event, New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Things break down because Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode got into it on the outside, so all the Lumberjacks start fighting with each other. While Kofi is distracted, Sami rolls him up and gets the win. So let's take a drink to the distraction finish.
Hey.
After the match,
Donald.
Sami Zayn catches a beat down at the hands of the New Day. Owens sees Daniel Bryan backstage and begs for his job. Bryan says that he was never going to fire them and said that next week, which will be this week, he has a match versus Randy Orton. And thank you, Dee Dee, for letting me do your SmackDown Matters.
No, you got it. You did a great job. Much shorter than I would have managed.
Yeah, so that's what happened like a week ago, the week of Thanksgiving that we did not record. So now, Sam, if you want to take it away for this week's Monday Night Raw, it's all yours.
Live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Roman Reigns comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo. He talks and talks, calling himself a fighting champion, and that The Miz is going to be gone for a long time. The Miz Raj come down and say they are appalled. Appalled, they say, that Roman is walking around with the IC title. They say they have aligned themselves with the guy who has the drive and heart to take Roman out. And it's the goddamn Drifter.
I hate her. Look at you.
The two talk smack to each other, and a match is made for later tonight. Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. Good back and forth match. See, the match ends with Seth catches Cesaro with the knee to the face after Cesaro tries to springboard onto him. Dasha interviews Seth after the match. She says, asks about a Shield breakup. Seth dismisses his notion and says he's only riding solo tonight because Ambrose is on his honeymoon. Roman's title reign isn't going to separate them. It's going to bring them closer together.
Didn't they get married like 6 months ago?
Yeah, forever ago. Yeah.
Let them go on their honeymoon now. Because you know how they are with scheduling and stuff.
I guess.
Let's see here. Next week, he and Dean are going to invoke their rematch clause on The Bar. 205 Live. I didn't care about that. Titus O'Neil versus Joey Samoa. Good match. Probably Titus's best match in a long time, which is two big guys going at each other. That's how it should be with two big giants like that. We got a recap on what happened last week with the return of Paige and the debut of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. It's a setup for the match that's about to take place. Paige, Mandy, and Sonya versus Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey James, I think. Paige, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville versus Sasha, Mickey James. Alexa Bliss is on commentary. Sasha comes out. They play Mickey's music and no one comes out. Alexa comments that she's probably out taking a nap. Same thing happens when they play Bayley's music. Paige and the gals come out and Paige shows on the Titantron that they've taken the other two women out. Paige then explains why she's done what she's done. She started the women's revolution and she's been cut out. Let's see here. They are called the Absolution as they are now. They're now called the Absolution and they beat up Sasha Banks.
It's the best, that's the better of names Paige just came up with. Remember the Submission Sorority?
Oh, the Submission Sorority.
Yeah. It was a
porn site. She was the one that came up with that, wasn't she?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Little did we know she was, you know.
Well, now we know why, because she'd been perusing bank photos.
Absolution sucks. That's awful.
It sounds too much like the Final Solution, which is like WCW's horribly named group for Dungeon of Doom when they were going after Hulk Hogan.
Your references are like so specific.
Well, sorry.
I mean, it's not a complaint. It's just an observation.
Okay, so spooky promo by Bray Wyatt. That's what I wrote down. Word on the sheets is, we already addressed that. It looks like they're going full steam ahead with this whole broken gimmick, because Michael Cole is mentioning it's been a rough few weeks for Matt. So, Bray ends the match with the spider walk and Sister Abigail. After the match, Matt appears to get unhinged, doing the delete hand motions. Let's see. Jason Jordan is in Kurt's office. He says he's looking forward to taking on Braun. Kurt asks about his knee. Jason whines that Twitter is picking on him, and he wants an opportunity to prove it, to prove Twitter wrong. He assures Kurt that he's 100%, so Kurt signs a match for tonight, Jason Jordan versus Kane. The 205 Live bathroom break happens. Intercontinental Championship, the goddamn Drifter versus Roman Reigns. The Drifter's in the ring threatening to sing a song about The Miz. The ladies in the crowd chant, "We want Roman," and the guys chant, "No, we don't." The Mr. Raj comes out to join the goddamn Drifter in his song. Chris Axel and Bo are on piped-in harmonicas. Michael Cole compares this to a Bob Seger session. The match itself was pretty shitty, probably one of Roman's worst. Lots of wrist holds and overall just very boring. Roman wins with a spear, and that's time in my life that I will never get back. So after the match, Roman is hanging out on stage. Joey Samoa comes out and puts the coquina clutch on him. Dana Brooke versus Asuka. Did they tweak Asuka's music? Because it sounds different to me. Something I don't know. What do y'all think? Did y'all hear it?
I didn't notice a difference personally.
Yeah. I don't.
Sounds the same to me, boss.
I'm telling you, something's different about it. Anyway, so Dana has an in-the-box promo before the match. She says she has found a flaw in Asuka's technique. She learned this from studying matches on the WWE Network, apparently for only $9.99 a month. The match begins. Asuka flips Dana into the Asuka lock and makes Dana tap out. The Absolution comes out. The ladies surround the ring. Asuka is ready for them. The three ladies are poised to strike, as is Asuka. Then they back off. Asuka smiles and leaves the ring. So, interesting. I hope they follow up on this and don't drop it and pretend it didn't happen.
They don't want none. They don't want none.
All right, so Jason Jordan versus Kane. Jordan comes out and whines about Twitter again. Apparently, he has something against the Cincinnati Reds of 1976 because he keeps talking about the Big Red Machine. The match begins, and Jordan is immediately on the outside, clutching his hurt knee, which Booker yells at him. Is it just me, or is it Booker just been completely out to lunch lately on commentary?
Booker don't like Jason Jordan. He doesn't like
it's just like during Survivor Series, like he didn't know what a countout was. He lost track of how many titles he's won. There's like been a bunch of like weird little things about Booker. He's like, he just doesn't give a shit.
He's 50. He probably has CTE. Like what?
Look at the medical professional we have before us here.
I said probably I didn't say that he did, because that's not what a professional would do. I'm not his doctor. I'm just saying he's old.
You just play one on TV?
No, I'm just saying he's old. They don't remember things, you know?
Okay, let's see here. Let's see. The referee reaches a 10 count, and at the end of the match, he gets back in the ring and complains. Kane tosses him out of the ring again and continues his assault. Finn Balor comes out. So now we have Finn Balor versus Kane. During the commercial, Kurt Angle makes the match official, apparently. The match spills to the outside. Kane takes a chair to Balor and gets disqualified. He continues to wail on Finn. Kane goes to pilmanize Finn, but Bronny the Strowman comes out for the save. Kane hits him with a chair and he no-sells it. Kane immediately backs off. Strowman beats the snot out of Kane and gives him the Strowman splash. He continues to beat up Kane. He gives Kane a running power slam onto the steel steps. The Knoxville, Tennessee crowd chants one more time. So hopefully none of Kane's constituents are in the audience, because that's not a good sign for him. Strowman gives him the chair across the throat gimmick. He does it a second time. Kane goes to the outside, throws himself over the barricade, and walks through the crowd, seemingly riding off into the sunset. So is this his final write-off? Is that it? Like, because clearly there shouldn't be a match, because what more could you possibly
want? Who knows? He always finds a way to...
I mean, he'll eventually come back like later on down the road, but is this his write-off for now? Who knows? So anyway, that is your Monday Night Raw. Thoughts? Donald?
Anyway. Now, this Monday Night Raw sucked.
They all sucked, Donald.
Yeah, this one wasn't that good. And Finn Balor, sorry for you, bro. 2 out of 3 weeks, you've been smeared across the whole freaking arena by Kane. I do like the Jason Jordan thing where, like, he's too hurt to wrestle Braun, but with everybody else, yeah, he good.
All right, so we're moving on to SmackDown Matters, I think.
Yeah.
Go
for it. All right. So, you know, this week they're in Lexington, Kentucky.
Home of
our guests.
Yes.
Also, Jim Cornette lives there as well, I think.
Nobody.
He lives in Louisville.
He lives in Louisville. Okay.
It is not the same thing. Yes. So, our guest was there at the Rupp Arena. Rupp. I was right the first time. Let me do it. Shane comes out to start the show. He talks about things, but then he introduces Daniel Bryan so he can explain some things. And then Bryan says things, and then the crowd boos because he said that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn should be fired, and nobody wants to lose our favorite heels. So then Daniel says he knows what it's like to be fired. He believes in second chances. He's not going to forgive their actions, but Shane's temperament does get the best of him sometimes. And Shane's like, yeah, but blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. The things, they happen. Daniel says if Shane just wanted to do some things, then he wasn't the guy for Shane. Like, if he just wanted a puppet. But Daniel wanted to bring out the best in the talent. So Shane did like Brian's announcement of Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens for tonight. But he wants to add on. He's going to ban Sammy from ringside, and then the match is going to be no DQ. Boom. So that's what it is. And then your...
Which I don't understand how you make rules for no...
Yeah, you can't ban somebody and make it no DQ. That doesn't quite work, but you know. In Trump's America, you do what you want. Okay, first match. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin with the Usos on commentary. And Big E decided to give them a gift of penny cakes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
At the single.
Static. It's like a static avalanche. Beautiful. So yeah. Big E brings them pancakes and maple syrup straight out of his onesie. It's amazing. So they're happy about it, but they don't know if they should eat it. So then, of course, Brian Saxton offers to eat it because fucking weirdos. And then the Usos dance to the New Day's music. So they're friends now? I'm not mad at this.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. So the New Day wins. Xavier hits a diving foot stomp with Benjamin draped over Kofi's knee for the pinfall win. Boom. Winning.
They actually threw out pancakes to the crowd, too.
Did you? Ooh, avalanche of echoes. Yes. It sounds amazing. It's like when we were on the call with that other person who didn't know how to shut the hell up. It was amazing. Yeah, anyway, backstage, Naomi and Charlotte are talking about Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. Natty Bo jumps in, says she's willing to help. Charlotte's like, I don't know. Just like, I don't know about all this static in the background. Is it me? It's not me.
No, it's not you. It's not me either.
What is this? That just put your phone.
I'm on mute. So.
Just put it on mute. It's okay. I can't believe it's my producer Dom, but maybe it is.
I think it's you because he's on mute too.
It's not me. Because I'm not moving.
It's him because his stuff keeps going from mute to unmute.
It's not me because I'm not moving because I can't move because my phone don't really work. So I have to be very specific. I can't move. So I know it's not me. But that's a technical thing. Don't worry about that. Worry about Charlotte resisting Natalia's help. But then she says, fine, we'll all be on the same page. We'll make sure that these upstart NXT hoes don't, you know, feel their shit too much or something like that. So then the next match is Bludgeon Brothers versus Hype Bros. Hype Bros apparently demanded the rematch. I don't know when the Bludgeon Brothers actually debuted last week. I missed it. Anyway.
Last week.
Cool. They won with a double choke slam on Zack Ryder. Daisy, also known as Dasha Fuentes, asked the Hype Bros about their struggles. They said, Zach said they were top contenders a year ago, but that feels like a lifetime ago. Everything has changed. They need to change too. Before he could finish his thought, Mojo decks him from behind. And then he like hesitates, but then he like beats his ass again. And he goes, the Hype Bros are dead. And then officials have to pull him off. And honestly, truthfully, Zach should have known this was happening months ago.
That was hard to watch.
I'm not sad that I missed it, you know.
How'd you feel about Mojo being spicy?
I mean, I do love a spicy white, you know, I'm a fan. But I love Zach, and I feel like you have to be a part of your own rescue. So you should have known this was coming because Mojo has been shady as fuck essentially since Zach came back. So, you know, you have to be a part of your own rescue. That's all I'm saying. After the break, who is Kayla Braxton?
Kayla Braxton is our new Heyboo, new member of the Creepcast.
Who is that?
She's from NXT. She's usually been on NXT for the most part, but now she's making her way over to SmackDown.
So she's the new Tom Phillips. So she crushes up to Mojo backstage and asks why he attacked Zach. And he said, like Zach said, the landscape changed. AKA, I don't know, but it seemed like a great idea. Daisy finds Bobby Roode backstage and asks Baron Corbin accidentally attack. How do you accidentally attack somebody? Whatever. Anyway, Bobby said he wasn't sure that it was an accident, but he knew for sure that Corbin calling him absent-minded wasn't an accident. He felt that Baron was feeling threatened and that he would take Bobby said that Baron Corbin felt threatened and that he would take away his US title. Bobby was about to yell glorious, but Baron interrupted him to call him delirious. Then Bobby challenged him to a title match tonight. Corbin, a real one, said no. Said hell no.
I loved it. No. It was great.
No, because the answer is no. Like, if you're going to ask me, no, not gonna. So that's that. Next, WWE champion AJ Styles versus the Singh brothers in a 2-on-1 handicap match with Jinder at ringside. Jinder attacked AJ before the match. After a break, they start the match. They check on AJ. You know, racist fans are yelling USA. If you want to feel nice about it, the things are actually Canadian, but they're not thinking Canada. They're thinking India. So it's still racist, AJ is saying. Anyway, AJ, listen, I don't know what you people do. I don't.
It's not me. I was arms folded looking around like, this is not good.
I mean,
I was nervous.
All your faves are problematic at this point. So it's not even like I'm mad. You know, all I need to hear is one story about Jinder, and it's like, you too. I swear. If JoJo says anything about any of these people not named Bray Wyatt, I'm going to be like, two through. Anyway, AJ fights them all off. He kicks Mahal off the apron, gives Samira Styles clash off the rope. On to Sunil for the pinfall win. Afterwards, Jinder attacks the Singh brothers, giving them both the Kalas as the Kalas. crowd chants, you still suck. Jinder messes.
So does this mean that the Singh brothers about to be fired in like next week?
I guess we'll find out. Jinder messes up his own finish on Sunil, but we won't talk about that. Backstage,
Yo. He almost.
I don't think he messed up. It was whatever, which one? I can't
Sunil.
Think of
it. Sunil.
Yeah. He like flipped. I don't know if he was trying to really sell it and like oversold it, and he got too much air because 50 pounds. But I don't know, because I saw it live and I saw him going over and I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good.
The same brothers take memorable bumps.
Yeah, it was just a bad bump. I don't think Jinder really botched it. It was just equal parts
botched. So somebody botched it. It was a botch. Let's just go there. Nobody owns it. Backstage, Daisy interviews Ruby, Liv, and whoever's last name starts with Logan. Ruby introduces themselves again and calls themselves the Riot Squad. She says they're here to turn the division upside down and called Morgan and Logan two of the most dangerous women in the world. She calls Morgan her little firecracker, and Morgan says she's about to pop off like it's the 4th of July. That's corny. Logan says she comes from a family of hunters, and they were bagging their three trophies tonight. That's also awfully Caucasian, but we are in Kentucky, you know.
She's from Louisville, Kentucky.
You know, she knows what the Kentucky people do. They hunt. They bag deer and shit.
Not me.
You know, the white ones, girl. The white ones.
Okay.
Yeah. The white ones. So next, the New Day do an ad for the WWE shop. They're going to have a book. I'm going to buy the book.
Me too.
Just to make sure that I'm not booty. You know? It's amazing. But guess what? There's a Funko Pop of Chris Jericho. Drink it in, man. I don't think it came with a list, though. That's kind of sad. So then there are some pictures from Starrcade, including Charlotte and Ric Flair. Shinsuke getting some love from Ricky Steamboat, and Arn Anderson giving a beautiful spine buster to Dolph of the Ziggles Clan. How did we like that? We saw Starrcade. We like Starrcade-ish adjacent, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, we saw the highlights. Seemed like it was pretty fun. Yeah. They missed a chance to put it on the network and have it really be cool, but maybe next
so
time.
What's the theory? They're going to put it on later, or they're waiting to see, or what? What is our theory with why we have not
seen
Starrcade?
Hopefully they're
going
to revise that weak-ass logo they put together in 5 minutes.
I think it was a test run. Like they left some wiggle room where they can add and take away some pay-per-views, so they may decide to add it in maybe next year or the year after.
The one that we saw, or Starrcade itself?
Starrcade.
Right. So do we think we're ever going to see this Starrcade?
Oh no. If they didn't put it up on like Sunday or Monday, nah. If you weren't there, you didn't get a chance to see it.
That's interesting. So right. Basically it's like a name brand house show.
Basically, which is exactly why you think the network would exist for.
That's interesting.
Like an MSG house show, or a Chicago house show, or a Japan house show, yeah. Or a house show that Starrcade. You figure that the network would do that,
right?
Right. For my $10 a month, I'm only getting Ride Along.
I like Ride Along.
Yeah, but that's the only show they have worth watching. But that Kevin Owens, the little documentary. What's the name?
365.
The 365 is actually it's actually a great concept. I can't wait to see what other talents they do it with. But
did they do one with Naomi?
Those are like Kevin Owens is the only one we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think Kevin Owens is the first one.
They need to do one.
I think Finn Balor might be one. I think Finn Balor might be one.
They need to do one.
And
for Naomi.
I don't know
because she's been through many
people
a lot
of color.
Well, you know, they do the ethnics. You know.
Yeah. Well, they do it like 365 days from like a pivotal point, so it was like from one SummerSlam to the next, I think.
Yeah,
so it like just showed it kind of showed like a downward spiral of Kevin Owens career in the last 365 days, but then it's like him giving commentary of just the feuds he's been in and how his career was going and how it was unexpected of him being Universal Champion.
Interesting. I like Kevin Owens. Next, six-woman tag match, Ruby, Sarah, and Liv versus Charlotte, Naomi, and Natty Bo. Natty leaves about a minute into the match. Liv and Sarah take out Naomi. They toss her into the steel steps twice. The referee did not call for a DQ, but they call for help. So Naomi is escorted to the back. That leaves Charlotte on her own. She makes a brief comeback, but Ruby pins her after a riot kick. Therefore, the new women win. And that's that. New girl is waiting outside of Randy Orton's locker room for an interview, but he goes past her because we don't like strangers up in Kentucky. I guess. I don't know. There's a Fashion Files segment. How did we feel about it, Donald?
It was funny.
Oh, I liked it. It was Saw. I got it. So, yeah, I was good.
Cool. Yeah, I don't even really want to explain it. It was probably one of those you kind of had to see it there kind of moments.
Yeah, pour some out for the Ascension.
I mean, mm-hmm. at least they're on TV, you know? I guess.
But they died.
Okay. That's all right. Okay. Nobody care about the Ascension but their parents. Maybe. Allegedly. Anyway, main event. Kevin Owens versus Randy of the Ortons in a no DQ match. Orton tries for an RKO, but Kevin scampers away. He follows him, attacks him onto the stage. Sammy runs out, attacks Randy with a chair, hitting him in the left leg. Two more times in the leg. As you will have noted, Sammy was banned from ringside, but as Corey explains, the stage is not ringside. Ha 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 ha. Shenanigans. Then Zayn runs off. Kevin tosses Randy Orton to the ring. Orton comes back with a draping DDT. Kevin avoids the RKO, however. Chop blocks him in the injured leg, and then follows with a frog splash for the win. Yay, Randy is a loser. And that is how your SmackDown ends.
Yeah,
those were some of the weakest chair shots I ever seen. Sami
Zayn. That was in my notes. That was in my notes, but since I didn't see it, I didn't want to extrapolate.
Oh yeah, they were pretty bad. But no, we buried the lead here. During the New Day match, they did a cutaway after the New Day won when they were celebrating to a very exuberant young lady cheering in the crowd, clapping with her fro in full flourish. None other than
so best. Was it before or after? It was before or
after? It was after the match when New Day was celebrating in the ring and everybody was chanting. Xavier was on the trombone doing his New Day rocks. And then all of a sudden, there's just in the one single person in this shot, head bobbing back and forth, getting her clap on beat. Miss.
It was lit. I was probably the only one in the room on beat, but.
And then, of course. Fun. The hashtag SmackDown Matters. Just everybody was like, hey, was that Young Littlefoot? Did y'all see Young Littlefoot? Young Littlefoot signing?
I told everybody to watch for me. I guess everybody didn't believe that I was there. Or
you were like right in the front, though. Like they might have thought you were there, but not like there. Because, you know, like, I told everybody, there. Like, I want to be at whatever one I went to. I was in the back. So you probably saw people, I'm going to be there. They probably want to think, oh, damn, she right there.
I don't know. I'm always in the building. Shout out to the plug.
It's funny because they said Lexington got off a couple of tweets in the live tweet. And I was like, let me reach out to Littlefoot and see if she's there. And then you got back with me and was like, yep, I sure am. And then like 3 minutes later, you were on TV. Like confirmation. Okay. So if you would fill us in on some 205 Live, what stood out besides you having to check somebody during the Enzo promo?
What happened? I can't really remember because I spent the whole 30 minutes explaining to my boss what 205 Live was because he didn't understand that like SmackDown was over and it transitions to a new show. And he, I like as they're like SmackDown's going off and they're like changing the ring out to like the mats with the cruiserweight stamps on it and the purple tape. And they're like, what's with the purple tape? And I'm like trying to explain, like, and he's like, so this is on TV. I'm like, well, it's on the WWE app, which means you have to watch it on like the network, meaning you have to pay $10 a month to see it. So,
cool, and so
he knows I'm obsessed with Enzo. So he's like asking like, why is Enzo on this crappy ass show? And I'm like, just imagine what the show would be without Enzo. That's what it was. It was dying. So they needed to fix it quick.
Let's talk about this Enzo Amore little stretch of like 6 months here where everything was seemingly going against him only to have everything be handed to him. How do you feel about this little stretch he's been on?
What's handed to him? He's the champion
the belt. A lot of people don't think that he's worthy of either, but you know, you don't turn it down when it comes your way.
Who's more worthy than Enzo? Nobody else is going to sell you 205 Live like a man in all Gucci.
The guy who left the company, the other guy that y'all like, who left the company with the elf ears. He was pretty damn good.
I miss him.
Neville. Neville was pretty damn good.
I didn't watch 205 Live at all when Neville was champion. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't think I had watched 205 Live since Rich Swann was champion.
Hopefully what happens is they're going to, you know, they're doing these, you know, four ways to come up with a match to determine the number one contender. Hopefully it's going to be Cedric Alexander. I would like to see him get a chance to maybe be the champion for a minute.
I don't care. I like Cedric Alexander. I just don't like when he talks. And that's 75% of being a champion. You have to talk. You can't be a champion and not talk.
This is true.
So.
All right. Anything else? Tell us about the dark match after 205.
The dark main event was Shinsuke and Bobby Roode in a tag team versus Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin.
It's Corbin. Corbin's a good wrestler live. He has good crowd interaction.
Yeah, because my friends behind me were talking shit to him, and he was like talking shit back. But it was like very PG, like your mom does this and this and the other. And I'm like, how old are we? They were talking about moms.
Got kids out there. Can't really be out there doing the Bubba Ray, where you're going, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But the match was okay.
How's Shinsuke's entrance live?
Shinsuke, I had to mute you because there's like a windstorm going on your mic. I don't know what's going on. Shinsuke's entrance is immaculate live, just as Bobby Roode's is. And I actually posted a video, I think, of Bobby Roode's entrance, like the end of his entrance. It was pretty dope.
Cool, cool. Do I sound better now?
Yeah, you're great now. Nope. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Sorry.
Oh, it's really bad.
Yeah, it definitely is going in and out. It's cool right now. It's fine right now. All right, so what's next? Can we even talk about it?
I guess the results of the Dark Main event, because I didn't get to that part. Shinsuke and Bobby Roode won, obviously. Everybody went home happy.
Because the music is bomb. Glorious. If I could sing, y'all would be so sick of me.
There was a really good like segment in the match where Shinsuke was trying to do Bobby Roode's whole glorious like hand gestures, and Bobby Roode's in the corner like, no, that's my thing. Don't do that. And Shinsuke's like, just like revving it up like he's about to do it, and then he doesn't do it, and it's just funny. It's really funny.
Okay, so I'm back. Am I pristine and crystal clear better now?
Yeah, you sound good now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you could fill us in on your live experience. There's nothing like a television taping of WWE. It's so much fun. See the big production.
Yeah, it's very fun.
All right, so.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to be at the next one, which I think the next one I might go to another one before WrestleMania, but I don't want to, like, overexhaust my freebies before WrestleMania, so I'll probably go to one more if it's really super close. And then I'm going to WrestleMania.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to talk about some NXT. NXT was coming from San Antonio. We had Street Profits defeat Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli.
Again?
Montez Ford with the Frog Splash. Riddick Moss and Tito Sabatelli, they got some dope ring music. And they actually might be something. They actually, you know, they've been showing a little something since they've been in this little program with the Street Profits. So I like them. I can't wait till Montez Ford does the Shawn Michaels and turns on Dawkins and becomes a singles wrestler. He's going to be so good. Pete Dunne, he meets up with Tyler Bate and Trent Seven after his match last week against Johnny Gargano. Bate said he wasn't making the UK proud, especially with how he left Wolfgang alone against the Undisputed Era. Bate challenged Dunne to a tag match if he could find someone that trusts him. Then earlier in the day, they shoot an interview with Mustache Mountain. They talk about the match. Trent Seven spoke about Dunn walking out on Wolfgang, which upset them. Bate suggested that they teach Dunn a lesson and said that they were a real team and they are Mustache Mountain. Mark Andrews was asked about teaming with Pete. He says he's not looking to be Pete's friend. He's in the match because if they win, he wants to get a title shot at the UK title. We have Kairi Sane versus Peyton Royce. Peyton hits a knee for a two and freaks out about the near fall. Kari catches a kick and slams Peyton down. Kari follows with axe kicks to the back. Billy Kay gets on the apron, but gets a shoulder block and gets knocked out. Kari then climbs up top and hits the insane elbow, and Kari Sane gets the win. So y'all know I was highly disappointed at that, because y'all know how I feel about Peyton Royce. Thought that she should have won the championship and not Ember Moon, but oh well. We get clips of Ruby Riott versus Cyan DeVille from last week, and then they are basically going to have a no-holds-barred match coming up on the next NXT. Then we get highlights of Cian Almas winning the NXT title. Then there's footage of Drew McIntyre getting checked out by the doctors. He does, like I said, have the biceps injury, and he'll be out through at least most of 2018. Next week, we'll get the Cian Almas championship celebration. And then we have our main event, Mark Andrews and the UK champion Pete Dunne versus Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. Pete Dunne tags himself in, rolls Bate up for a two count. Dunne then lands a huge right hand. He tries throwing Bate out of the ring, but he blocks that with a shoulder rebound, and then he hits a big lariat. Tyler Bate then delivers a Tyler Driver 97 to Pete Dunne, and then gets the win. After the match, Mark Andrews checks on Dunne, and of course, Pete Dunne blasts him in the face for his troubles. The frustrated UK champ leaves, but then returns and hits the bitter end on Andrews and leaves him laying in the middle of the ring. And that was this week's NXT. I really like that they're trying to put the UK guys into the show a little bit more, add a little bit more flavor to it. I thought the War Games would have actually probably been better if they would have had the two teams be the UK guys versus the Undisputed Era, and just have it be the two teams and have the UK guys be the team to go against Undisputed Era, but they went a totally different route. So, and everybody knows how I feel about the Street Profits. They are currently my fave. I just love to see them wrestle. They bring so much energy, especially after they win, when they get up on the speakers and dance, and you know, Montez Ford doing the body rolls. So that was NXT. Alexis, how do you feel about Street Profits? Have you seen them? That's how you feel about them, y'all?
That's how I feel about you, NXT as a whole.
Aww. Oh, not you too. You're one of these people like Sam.
I like NXT. Well, I did. And then all the good people left. And then they left all the people left. So
It's on a like a rebound. It's about to like really get here, because I think that this Velveteen Dream House of Black thing,
right,
is gonna,
but there's
like,
no like story, like, now it's just like, it's just no really like stories. The only potential story they had was when DIY broke up, but then nothing really happened after that.
Yeah,
so
Ciampa got hurt, that's what happened, unfortunately.
So there's no story, there's no you betrayed me or this, that, and the other, or like, there's just people on NXT and they have matches. There's no like legit storylines. There's no, it's, tell me, please tell me one real storyline on NXT right now.
Well, they all just finished because we just had TakeOver. So whoever almost is about to challenge is about to start back up at this celebration, because whoever the new challenger is going to be will probably reveal himself there. So the story was the Velveteen Dream, and Aleister Black, where he's trying to get him to say his name and respect him. That was the story, the main story. That was the best feud in WWE, actually.
Yeah, I still didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand.
No. Well, it was because, like, you know, he never said anything. And so Velveteen Dream was trying to get him to, you know, say something. And so what he started doing was just fucking with him. And basically he was like, you know, Sammy, you gonna respect me to say my name. I come out here and I cut these promos against you, try to get on your skin, you don't ever say anything. So that was kind of, so that's why it was a big deal after the match when he got on the microphone and cut the promo.
That's lame.
Taking all my joy away.
I'm not entertained. I'm really not. Like, okay, you made somebody talk. That's great. Now what? Where's the drama? Where's like? There's nothing. Like, there's not even anything.
But that's the reason why I thought that Ember Moon not winning the title would have been best for the show, because it would have built in the drama.
Where's the promos? Where's the backstage? Like, there's nothing. Like, people just come out and have matches all, for 30 minutes. Like, I don't want to fucking see that. Or and however like said, long the show is.
Yeah, like I said, it just reset with this takeover. So just
skipping promo class, like, there's nothing, like...
There hasn't been a lot of...
There was a lot of females having matches, not really talking, not really interacting outside of just matches.
Yeah, yeah. They've kind of cut down on some of the promos, and it's been a lot more wrestling-based lately, and a lot of the backstage stuff, too, since Roderick Strong guys have come in, the Undisputed Era. So, yeah, definitely some stuff there.
Because, like, remember when, like, Finn and Samoa Joe and, like everybody else was in there, and they would have, like, when so-and-so got, like, attacked in the parking lot and shit, like stuff like that. Like, where's stuff like that at? Like, where's the drama? Where's the, you really beat my ass, so now I have to have this match with you? Like, there's just none of that. And then all the good girls, with the exception of Mandy and Liv, are called up, so... Who's going to feud with Ember?
Bianca Belair.
The girl who takes off her weave ponytail? Stop.
Yes. Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Stop it. First of all, you got a clip-in ponytail. I can't take you seriously. Two, no. I just don't get her gimmick. Like, what does EST mean?
EST. She's the fastest. She's the strongest. She's the prettiest. She's the EST.
What's EST stand? What does that mean?
Like, the what is that at the end of the word, like EST, like greatest ends in EST, like prettiest ends in EST.
Oh my god, that's what that means, because I thought it was like EST, like you know how people put like EST dot and then a date, like 1990,
yeah.
Whatever,
yeah, like established 1990.
Yeah, that's what I thought that was, and I was like, sis, what do you like, what does that mean? And no. Then now she's really lost me. That's lame. She needs to go back. She needs to find Aaliyah, wherever Aaliyah is, and they need to work on their gimmicks together, because that's trash.
Oh, God. That's not trash. But she's like the best pure athlete that's ever been in NXT. So, like, she broke all, like, Nia's strength records, and, like, she's like the, like, literally, she is, like, the fastest person in NXT, men and women.
That's
like,
fine.
She's, like, the
that's
truth.
Fine. That's fine. Then you should be the truth, not the EST.
Well, R-Truth is that, so she couldn't be that. Gimmick and
infringement. Boy, R-Truth is not even relevant in any conversation. Two.
Gimmick infringement.
There's other things. Yeah, right. Two, what does being the EST have to do with you taking off your clip-on ponytail and hitting people with it?
It's the way she did it with Billie Kay in the Battle Royal was awesome, because Billie Kay like grabbed her by the hair and like unfurled it. So yeah, she like whipped her with
so
it.
So basically,
like, don't ever touch my hair.
Basically, you the baddest and your ponytail's not secure. I can't trust it. I can't co-sign that. Because got a loose ponytail. No bad bitch got a loose ponytail.
No, she unfurls it when she does it. It's wrapped up until she wants to use it. Then she takes it out, and then she uses it, and then she wraps it back up.
No bad bitch is letting their wig or their ponytail come off their head, period.
I love it. See, it's going to be a tough sale. It's going to be a tougher sale than Sam. Sam always liked NXT. He was just being closeted about it. You're going to be a tough sale.
I like
sale.
NXT. I think it's
you just
than-
like it. When it's compelling. Yeah, we've lost a lot of star power. I will give you that from what you had a year and a half ago. With
like,
all
do we
of
need to hire some more
people?
Like old TNA people and throw them in there to get it more like back jumping? Because at one point in time, NXT was more entertaining than the main roster. You had Enzo, and Kaz, which is entertaining as fuck. You had quality.
The five,
like, the four horsewomen. Like, what's going on?
Maybe in January when Ricochet comes in, it'll.
I fucking hate that dude.
I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. And if Leo Rush doesn't get fired before then, I can only imagine what those two dudes are gonna do in NXT. They could come in and light it up.
I'm cool.
How do you feel about Leo Rush? Are you a fan of him?
No, I don't even know who it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's like been in ROH and on the indies. But he's really good. He's super talented, but I don't know. He got some hot water when Emma got fired, so he's already got heat.
Oh, that's that dude who tweeted about Emma talking shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or not. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for him either then. I saw that tweet, actually.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's definitely a transition stage, but, you know, they've got some things happening that are pretty good. So, like, you know, maybe they'll get, like I said, once Ricochet or maybe somebody else. Yeah. Donovan Dijak is also
under contract. I'm cool on Ricochet because he's from Paducah and he's a fucking Louisville fan, which I don't know how that happens. Like, I don't understand how that happens.
Yes. The King of Fight is amazing.
Everybody from Paducah that I know is fucking UK fans, so I don't understand how he just...
He probably wants to be different growing up.
Trying to be different. Exactly.
Yeah, so... All right.
Like, well, Paducah is much closer to fucking Nashville than it is to fucking... I don't understand.
It could have been something about the red. He could have been attracted. His favorite color could be red.
My favorite color is red, too, but I bleed blue.
Ah, okay. I guess the theory doesn't always work in all cases.
No. This is a hard sell.
All right. Is there anything going on with your with the clothing line still? The Al Snow joint? You still doing that?
Mine? Are you talking to me?
Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm not doing anything to close out the year. I still have taker tees available, and people are asking me about it. And spoiler alert, I heard a former WWE superstar is going to be photographed in my taker tee soon. So interesting.
Look at you making moves.
Her name might be named after one of the seasons. So that's all I'm going to give.
Okay.
But I sent one to Sasha, and I haven't seen her in it yet, but that'll be lit whenever she decides to wear it, because she's a queen. She can wear what she wants. But I have stuff planned. I think my next drop, I'm working on the samples now and approving those, but it'll be probably like February-ish. And then I have a super cool one planned for WrestleMania time season, so it'll obviously launch probably like before, like a week or two before WrestleMania. That way I can get orders out and you can wear them to WrestleMania and take pictures with me, because I'll be there. I just bought my flight, which I've been like holding off on, but I just bought my flight, so I'm for sure confirmed for WrestleMania.
Alrighty. You might have to make your official WrestleMania correspondent.
I'm gonna be too drunk for that.
You would be playing the role of Dee Dee Janae if she was at New Orleans for WrestleMania. Sure.
And I'm going to be super drunk because I have to pay give Wale $150 for this fucking VIP ticket for Wale Mania. So I'm, if liquor's free or if you see me at Wale Mania, buy me a drink, because I spent $150 to be there.
Yeah, you want to just rub shoulders with the celebrities. I know.
No, I just don't like being in the club and getting bumped, because that's when I fight. So I'm just going to just eliminate me getting Wale Mania shut down and just...
Don't go full 60 star. Did y'all see the video where she went ham on another girl this week?
Yeah.
No, I'm just cool on anything that has to do with her after the first incident.
Even though that girl did like kick her really hard in the face. But apparently, like, they had been kind of going back and forth in the match, and so the girl kind of got fed up and, like, had her down in the corner and literally put, like, heel to the face, and then Sissy Star just got up and just started, like, punching her for real.
What's the problem?
It's part of it. Part of it. I wish I could see this welt that Kevin Owens had on his freaking arm on Tuesday.
Oh, from the kendo sticks?
Oh, my God, it was horrible.
Yeah,
it started out red, and then like gradually it like started bleeding, and I'm like, it's bleeding. It was bad.
Yeah, Randy Orton was laying them shits in. Kevin Owens wasn't hitting him nearly as hard when he had the chance to hit him.
The second time Randy hit him with the kendo stick, like after they were like kind of like in the corner closer, the kendo stick snapped, and like the sharpest piece of kendo stick went up in the air. I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh no, I don't want this to hit me in the face. So I look down, and it goes behind me, and the guy in the row behind me caught it before it hit his kid. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, he's doing the most.
That's quite a souvenir.
Exactly. But imagine the lawsuit if it would have hit his kid in the face.
That's lit.
Pointed edge first. I'm like, oh no, I can't. I didn't pay to be here.
All right. So at this point, we'll open it up to our SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss DeJourne, for her thank yous and shout outs.
Oh, shout out to Mel. Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to my office at my day job. They're awesome and they encourage my alcoholism. It's quite nice. I appreciate it. Yeah, shout out to Young Wolfhood. Shout out to all my ladies of Glow. Shout out to Greg working them good hours at the factory or wherever he works. And yeah, that's it.
All right. Miss Littlefoot, shout out.
Shout out to everybody on Instagram and Twitter who sent me pictures of myself on SmackDown on their television. Shout out to my girls, Jordan and Slim from the new Slay. We'll be back soon. We're just going through some shit. Anyway, shout out to Enzo, because first of all, let me tell you about this motherfucker Enzo. Okay, so I'm wandering around, because I don't live in Lexington anymore. I live like 30 minutes outside of Lexington. I work in Lexington, and I'm from Lexington, obviously, but I don't live there currently. So I have to drive a whole 34 minutes home. So it's like, the show ended at like 11:15-ish. And so I went to Cookout, shout out to Cookout, and I'm like, okay, I'm stalking this man's Instagram story, because I'm like, where's this man at? I'm not one of those people that want to stand in the back of the arena and wait for people to come out and watch them get in their rental cars and go wherever they go. I want to really meet some motherfuckers, so I don't know where people hang out. But, like, I usually see them post where they are after shows on their Instagram story. But he was taking too long for me, and I had been up since 7:30 that morning. So I watched his story. He didn't post anything. And then I get home, and I watch his story, and he's at the bar, literally, that's across the street from my job.
No.
And y'all know me. I would have really got in my car and went back and got to that bar just for that photo op. But I had already taken off all my makeup and put on my pajamas to get in the bed. So I'm in the bed watching his Instagram story. So until we meet again, because I'm not over it. Like, we need to start like a Kickstarter campaign or something. GoFundMe, something to get this love connection happen. Somebody help. Start a Twitter hashtag or something. And get me to meet this man, because I can't live my life like this anymore.
All right. So, yeah, you guys, you know, at Enzo, what's his Twitter? At the real one?
Real one.
Yeah. So, Adam, at her, you know, throw her, you know, name in there. You know, there's some hearts in there. Maybe he can get it. Throw some hints.
Oh, he can get it.
You set him up. I set him up. You knock him down. All right, thanks Littlefoot for being our guest tonight. As always, a lot of fun when you're on the show. I'd like to give a shout out to my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. DeJourne. Give a shout out to Sam, give a shout out to Greg, give a shout out to Classic, give a shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout out. Give a shout out to Off the Drink, our new podcast here on CSPN, so you guys be sure to download, subscribe, and listen, check them out. Shout out to all the podcasts and all the podcasters on the CSBN network. Make sure you guys check out our sponsors. Go to our webpage, cspn.us. Scroll down, click on our mini sponsors from Amazon to Audible to Wink. And, you know, if you guys want some wine hookups, we got that for you now. So go check that out. Get some wine delivered to your home. Dee Dee, mm-hmm. can you tell them about some of the wine that you got sent to your home?
Sure. I got Riesling sent to my home. It's a sweeter wine, not quite as sweet as a Moscato. We don't want to be basic out in these streets.
Hold on. Whoa.
I said what I said. So, listen, I love you. And I actually love Moscato, but let's not pretend like it's not basic.
I didn't say it wasn't. I just said I'm not basic.
I didn't say you were basic. I said Moscato is basic.
Well then.
The drink is basic. The people who drink it, they just like sweet drinks, and that's okay. So yes, I got recently, and it was quite nice. And it comes to your house, and it's beautiful, and it's easy, and it's simple. And we're lazy, so it works even better.
Wait, what is this? Let me log on here, sis. What is this? Yeah, let me type it in.
Yeah,
W-I-N-C.
I-N-C.
Mm-hmm.
Wine club membership.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, man. Y'all might have just did something.
So, yeah. So, do like Littlefoot. Check it out. Check out their selection. And sign up. Get your bottles. And, you know.
Floral.
Is it free? It's free? Oh. Don't worry. I am signing up right now.
Is there anybody else? Give a shout out to Moto and Castle Strong Style. We're back up and running over there. So New Japan fans, check us out. Episode 13, Alpha and Omega is out on the network. Give a shout out to Jade to the Max, Cream of Mindy, Jupiter Julep, Kisa, and all other members of the GLOW, Miss Angelina as well, our guest from last week. So, and everybody who, like I said, joins us for all the hashtags every week and listens to the podcast and downloads us faithfully. So thank y'all for listening. We're very thankful for y'all listening to us every week and interacting with us as well. So for Samuel, for Young Littlefoot, and my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. Didi Jonet, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 161 of the WrestleCast.
Shane, I understand why you and a ton of other people think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens should be fired. But as somebody who's been fired a couple times myself, I believe in second chances. And I know how much Sami and Kevin wanted to be a part of Survivor Series. Admittedly, their selfishness and jealousy led them to make a very bad decision, and they should have never interfered in the Survivor Series match. But Shane, too. Sometimes your temperament can get the best of your better judgment. It happens all the time.
In this specific case, I agree with you. Let me remind you that Kevin Owens beat my father unmercifully in this ring. So to quote Sami Zayn, check on my temper there. Let me remind you that it was Sami Zayn who got involved in my Hell in a Cell match up against Kevin Owens right there. Double check. And let me remind you that those two individuals betrayed the entire SmackDown roster. Triple check.
But you also have to understand why they did those things. They did them in the name of competition and trying to grab the brass ring. And like I said last week, in those two guys, in Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, I see real talent. If we fire them, ultimately, they're just going to end up on Monday Night Raw.
Great, that'd be my sister's problem.
But see, you left me in charge last week. I took this job under the pretense that you didn't want just a yes man. If you wanted just a puppet who would just do whatever you wanted them to do, I'm sorry, I'm not your guy. But if you want somebody who recognizes in-ring talent, who wants to give talent opportunities, who wants to use those talent the best we possibly can right here on SmackDown Live, then I'm your guy. I just need you to trust me so that when you leave, I can make the decisions.
I do trust you. And the decision, let's take it back to what you made last week. They're still here. They're not fired. But one thing that I do applaud you on is that you made a match right here for tonight. Kevin Owens against Randy Orton. But I'm going to add to that idea a little bit. And just to let you know, that the Newsies paperboy, Sami Zayn, is barred from ringside. And tonight's match between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton will now be held under no disqualification rules.
What an announcement by Shane McMahon.
Kevin Owens' night just went from bad to worse in short order.